Well, good morning. Hey, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're just going to read one verse this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes this. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Lord, we are grateful for your word this morning, and we are asking you to please speak through your word this morning. We are grateful for the overflowing blessing that you pour out on us every single day. And we're asking that you would give us eyes to see that, recognizing that life is so difficult. And certainly there are seasons where we struggle to see your overflowing blessing on our lives. So I pray that we would walk out of here being able to see like we never have before. Lord, I pray for the ones who have never seen the light. They have been walking around this planet their entire lives, blinded by their sin. God, I pray that you would speak directly to those individuals this morning. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, I am not J.R. J.R. was going to be preaching this morning. J.R. Hill, he is one of the elders here at Sunrise. He was scheduled to preach from John 3 and texted yesterday morning. He wasn't feeling well. And so we reshifted our schedule a bit. And so I am not J.R. Hill. He's sick. Y'all be praying for him. Although his wife said, when I asked how is he this morning, she said he's a little wimpy this morning. So J.R., I know he's watching. You need to toughen up. And you should be in this moment right now, right? We're praying for you, J.R. And Lord willing, I say Lord willing because you never know, we will get to hear from J.R. this week or this coming Sunday. Hey, I don't know if you caught it, we introed a song that we've never done here before, and that was the song called The Doxology. That was that one that sounded real, probably hymn-like, liturgical to you, I don't know. And so we introed that song today, there's a really cool story behind the doxology. A guy by the name of Thomas Ken wrote the doxology in the late 1600s. So we have been singing this in the Christian church for like 350 years. And he wrote it actually to pair with three other hymns he had written for students of Winchester College at Oxford University. So he wrote three separate hymns. He wrote a hymn for the morning, he wrote a hymn for night, and then he actually wrote a third hymn for the midnight hour. Specifically, you probably know what the midnight hour is, those moments in time where you're restless and you can't sleep. And so he wrote one for that. And each hymn pairs with the particular moment of the day. So one hymn pairs for right there for the morning. It's a great hymn to pray through and sing if you would like. One hymn pairs to the evening, to going to sleep. And then again, one is for the midnight hour. And he wrote the doxology as a verse to be tagged along to the end of each of those hymns. And each of these hymns is really just a prayer of blessing and invocation to cry out to God. And if you don't have moments in your day where you are singing hymns, which don't think I'm waking up singing a hymn every morning or going to bed singing a hymn every night, but certainly it's good to structure your day beginning and ending with the word and with prayer. Would highly recommend you do that. But here's what I wonder is, isn't it wild that this doxology that's been around for 350 years has endured to today? Like, isn't that crazy? I grew up in church, so I grew up in a very traditional church, unbelievable church that's thriving today. And I'm grateful for church, Second Baptist Church of Warner Robins, Georgia. But we sang hymns, and so certainly we sing the doxology. Anytime a hymn like that pops up, for someone like me, it's just like, man, a buzz just enters the room. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm home. And maybe you're like, this is kind of weird, but isn't it wild that this song, this hymn, this verse, we're still singing today. And it's special that we can lean back on some of these older songs that Christians long before us sang, and they anchored themselves in difficult seasons of life. And they didn't have a band. They didn't have all the Hollywood lights, is that what someone sometimes calls it? They didn't have all of that. It was just these songs. And the reason that these songs endure is because they are biblically true. They are so foundationally and theologically strong. Like, they come straight from Scripture, and that's why. Here's what's wild. Earlier this week, on Thursday, actually, I was in my truck listening to hymns. And I lean on some of these hymns from time to time. And I have this album of hymns, and this album I have begins with the doxology. And so I used to have a thing every Sunday morning. I would listen to that on the way to church. It was so spiritual, right? And so I was listening to this, and I actually sent Chris. I was like, sent him a text Thursday morning. Said, hey, man, we need to do this song soon. I'd like to do this song soon. And I was not scheduled to preach this week. I wasn't scheduled to do anything this week. I was going to worship with y'all. And so I had not seen the set list. He sends out a service flow on Mondays or Tuesdays. And I hadn't seen any of that. I get to the church house, church building, and he was like, we're actually doing the doxology this Sunday. It's like, holy cow. Like, are you kidding me? Chris and I, we have never talked about the doxology. It's not like we're in our room as theologians and studying. We haven't talked about that. I don't think we've ever uttered the song to each other. And we've talked about different hymns, but that, no. And so I'm just like, holy cow. You know, like, what are the odds? And my response to that really is, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And what I mean by that is this: this gathering of people, this is not meant to be a man-made, man-created gathering. Like, when we do this, we're not after trying to do something that's perfectly fitting to our needs. No, Chris, leading into the Sunday, is in the Word, in prayer, begging God to speak, to show us what he wants to do for the day. That's our heart. So then he puts it on the schedule on Monday or Tuesday, gets a text from me on Thursday. Clearly, I'm walking with God. Just kidding. But clearly, God is saying, yeah, doxology, that's what I want on the schedule for Sunday. That is the Spirit's guidance. And it's one of the overwhelming ways that his blessings flow on our lives, that we can tap into this supernatural voice, and he guides us. But it's one of the most underappreciated parts of our faith, that we have a Spirit who guides and who speaks so specifically, like he did this week. So I want to talk about a few things today. Our big idea is this: you were created for praise. You were made for praise. Same word. You were made for praise. That is how God designed you. And so I want to walk a little bit through the doxology, but we've already introed Ephesians 1:3, because that's kind of where it's written around. But that is why you were created. Number one, we praise because he's worthy. We praise him because he's worthy. That's why we praise God. He's so worthy of our praise, worthy of our adoration. Ephesians 1:3, Paul starts out saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul ascribing praise and worship to God. And when you start going into Ephesians chapter 1, just bam, thing after thing after thing, reason after reason after reason, why Paul begins saying, blessed be you, God. Praise be to you, God. He says something very specific, though, who blesses us with all spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings, that adjective, that's where he's, this is the next 14 verses, it's all centered around this. He's talking about things like Not like, sometimes physical blessings come from God, okay? If he blesses you financially, that's certainly from God. All genuine blessings come from God. But that's not the route that Paul's going here. Paul's talking about things like holiness. He's talking about redemption, forgiveness, knowledge. Not just knowledge of God, but we live, if you're a believer, you live with the knowledge of what is to come. So you face a difficult circumstance and you feel like life's falling apart. Christians, what do we tend to do? We tend to go, well, you know, at least we know how it's all going to end. You know, Lord, come back, right? Please return now. That's going to be me in 18 years when my daughter's getting married. Lord, please come back now. My life's over, right? We live with that knowledge. That's hope. We have hope. And we have a very real spirit who guides us. Spiritual blessings. He gives us a spirit who audibly speaks to us through his word, through others. This is the type of spiritual blessing we are given. But again, underappreciated. I'm the type of person when something's like heavy going on, I need to talk with someone about something specifically. I'm not a texter. Okay, some of you, you're like, I'm going to text out. I'm going to text the whole thing out. And you will have paragraphs and it arguing back and forth. Not me. In fact, if you text me wanting to argue, I'm going to be like, nah. I don't like the texting, and I'm not knocking texting, not knocking email, but I'm an in-person type person. Like, so if you're going to say, hey, I need to talk about something, usually I'm like, well, please let me know what you want to talk about, number one. Because as a pastor, when someone's like, we need to talk, usually it's something just like detrimental or something I've said. So I'm like, please let me know. But I want to meet in person because I've learned over the years if I try to sort something out through email with someone, through texting with someone, there's going to be a lot of misunderstanding and I'm probably going to make a really bad decision, right? And you know, or some of you, you're the ones that are guilty of having the long texting. Like, don't do that. That's not healthy. We're not designed for that. Well, the same goes for our relationship with God. We have this ability to actually talk with him, to hear his voice, to spend time with him, to allow him to guide us through his word. We've been in the John series this year, and just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus turning water into wine. And what did Jesus say to Mary when she was like, Jesus, we're out of wine? He said, woman, you know, basically, he said this, woman, he said, the hour has not come yet. It's not time. And that hour, that's the pinnacle of human history. And what Jesus was saying is, the time for my death and exaltation, it has not come yet. And what we know about Jesus is he lived and breathed looking towards this hour and wanting to obey his Father, constantly in communication with his Father. Now, what do we know about the life of Jesus? If you look in Mark, turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. This is Jesus. This is his life. This is what he did, the Son of God. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. This was Jesus's rhythm of life, waking up early in the morning, going to a deserted place, a desolate place. You could call it this unhindered, undistracted time with his Father, quiet, where he could hear from God, communicate with God, know where he's going for the day. Jesus, his ministry was wild. Miracle after miracle, everyone wanting to follow him, but he needed that unhindered, undistracted time with God. He needed to hear from God, and this is what helped him be guided by God throughout his ministry. Jesus, the Son of God, spent time with the Lord. This was his rhythm of life. I said we praise God because he's worthy of our praise. I would imagine if I said, hey, raise your hand if you've kind of been praiseless this week in terms of praise to God, we're praising something. We'd have some hands go up. Hey, if you're struggling with praise, If you're struggling with living and breathing worship, praise, adoration, best thing I would encourage you to do is go to a deserted place. Go to a desolate place, a quiet place. Bible in hand, maybe a journal, and just read and breathe in the word. Talk to the Father. Maybe put your phone away. Not knocking Bible phones, the phone Bibles, whatever you want to call them. Not knocking that. I'm not anti-technology. But I will say this. There's something special when it's just you and God. You've got this, the word, and maybe you have a pen and paper out, which mine's right here. It goes with me everywhere I go. I know, I'm so spiritual. Where is it? Keep it right here. Same pen. This is the types of pens I use. You can get them at Office Depot. If you want to get me some more, they're not cheap. They're not expensive. Hey, there's something special about when this is all you have, and it's just you and God, and you can read the word, listen, pray, write down, like a rhythm like this, like Jesus. This is where you'll begin to see all of the spiritual blessings that God bestows on you every single day. Because I get so distracted with the noise of life. And I know you do too. We all do. Maybe some of you are the carefree type that don't. That's not me. Just ask my wife. One little thing goes wrong and I'm like, ah! That's me. I don't know where you are, but I know this is the breath in my lungs, the air in my lungs, this. This is the life of Jesus. So if you're struggling with praise and he's worthy of my praise, that's why you go to a deserted place. It will change you. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yes, every genuine blessing comes from God, but we're talking a lot of these spiritual blessings that get so overlooked. So number one, we praise him because he's worthy. Secondly, we praise him to edify the church. We praise him to edify the church. Look at ahead in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. We praise him to edify the church. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. I knew this would happen. Yeah, no doubt I was going to go just freeze. Praise him, all creatures here below. We praise to edify one another. This vertical worship is also a horizontal worship. This is why gathering in the building is different than watching online. But if some of you are like JR and too wimpy to come, and so you're home. That's a joke. If you're not feeling well, be home. This gathering together, when we're in group, community group, or you're having family devotions at your house, or you're doing one-on-one discipleship, meeting with someone at a coffee shop, and you're praising him together, it's building up, it's edifying, it's encouraging, it's strengthening you, it's building the church. So we praise him, it's biblical, we're commanded to sing to one another, and it builds the church. And this is what we need more of. But notice, it's all creatures here below. And literally, every created thing, the animals, plants, rocks, we are joining in with all things created in worship to God. And it builds the church. It strengthens. And you know what I'm talking about. I've had weeks where I'm just stumbling into Sunday and I just need to be in a room full of voices singing to encourage me. Weeks where I don't want to preach, that happens. That shouldn't be a shock. We're all human here. I don't want to preach. And I just need to hear the voices in the room. It's hope. It encourages me. So we praise him because he's worthy. That's the big one. We praise him to edify the church. We praise him to join heaven in worship. We praise him to join heaven in worship. Now, I may need some help here. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. It's wild how it works. We praise him to join heaven in worship. Look at Psalm 150. Let's flip backwards. Psalm 150. Verse 1. Hallelujah. Can we say that together? Hallelujah. Amen. That's special, isn't it? Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Now, if you do a little word study, we see the psalmist doing two things. Kind of summoning people on earth, hey, join in, we're worshiping. But then there's a recognition and acknowledgement, there's a spiritual realm happening too. We forget, you know, especially, I grew up in the Southern Baptist world, and we get kind of scared of some of the spiritual, right? Like, let's not get a little too weird, you know? There are angels, there are demons, there is a heaven, there is a hell. There's a spiritual war happening. But there's heavenly worship happening right now. And so we praise him to join in the worship taking place right now, but also to call the angels in, saying, join us in worship. Isn't that amazing? We forget that. Special. So we praise him to join in the worship in heaven. Or if you're a believer, we are all headed there one day. That strengthens you. That's encouraging. They're right there with us in the worship. They're in this moment right now. That's awesome. Lastly, we praise him to proclaim the triune God. We praise him to proclaim the triune God. That is, we are praising him when we cry out to God, when we are worshiping him and adoring him. We worship a three-in-one God, or a one-in-three God, however you want to word it. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're praising him, when we're singing that doxology, you know what we're doing? We're saying, man, a lot of people are claiming there are gods after gods, and there are all different ways to the Father, whatever you want. No, we are saying, no. Our God is the God, the one and only God, and he is set apart. He's different. And so we praise him to simply proclaim God is, and for the world to know he is the one true God. If you look back at that text, Ephesians 1:3, notice all of this is in Christ. In Christ. The spiritual blessings in Christ. Going from sinner to holy in the eyes of God in Christ. The Spirit's guidance, that's done in Christ. Your redemption in Christ. Forgiveness in Christ. Hope in a very hopeless world in Christ, every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are able to praise him. Thank God. The question is, do you have a relationship with God through Jesus? Because if you don't, this is foreign. That it's not going to work. Praise won't work. You need that relationship with him. We've been studying this for weeks. Jesus, Son of God, Savior of the world, the Messiah, came down to this planet, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on a cross out of perfect obedience to his Father, rose again on the third day, was exalted. He's in heaven, sent his Spirit down, and he is just filling people. Even right now, I can assure you, all across the world, think about it, all across the world as the church gathers, you do realize people have been going from death to life today. Isn't that amazing? He's saving people. He's saving people, and he will save you if you'll cry out to him. Hey, if you need Jesus in your life, I'm gonna say a prayer, and I just want you to pray internally. Boldly go to the Father and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, so bow with me now. Pray with me now. Pray, if you're a believer, pray for the non-believer. Pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm repenting of my sin. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I believe Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross for my sins. I believe he rose again on the third day, conquering sin and grave. And right now, I'm declaring him to be Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. Hey, if you said that prayer, I want you to come and talk to me today. Just let me know. I'd love to pray with you more about what it means to follow him. Here's what we're going to do. I want everyone to stand up. And we're going to go back to that doxology. We're going to cut everything out, all keys. We're going to go quiet, every little thing. We're going to go quiet. And we're going to sing this together. And I want you to sing as loud as you can. I want to explain the very end there, that amen. We're going to end it with, I'm going to try not to ruin the moment. It ends with amen. It's going to end like that. So let's just sing together. You ready? Praise God. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, two ways we're going to apply the message this week. The worship team can go ahead and come up. Number one, if you're struggling in your praise, and as I said, I would imagine there are a lot of people struggling with their praise to God this week, go to the desolate place. Go to the deserted place. Pen, paper, Bible in hand. Find a quiet moment with God. Ask him to speak to you. Just read. He will speak. Secondly, remind yourself of the spiritual blessings, circumstantial blessings, physical blessings, those come and go. The spiritual blessings, they remain. They remain. Praise God, they remain. Let's continue on in our worship this morning.